You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hi, thanks for being here.
Welcome.
We'd like to start off this conversation with a little talk about focus. Focus, 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 focus is what you're doing here. You're either focused on what you like, what you love, what you enjoy, or you're focused on what you do not like, what you do not prefer, what you fear, what you hate, what you wish was different than it was. Focus is this primary tool by which you humans access positive thought, inspiring ideas, alignment, love. The focus is either in the stream of consciousness based in love or it's in the stream of consciousness based in fear. When you are moving back and forth, this is good, that's bad, this is good, that's bad, you're not really focused, are you? You're sort of here and there. You're sort of wishy-washy. You're sort of creating some of what you want and some of what you do not want. You are living sort of a mixed bag or a mixed experience of life, and there is nothing wrong with that. But now that you are aware of how this system works and who you truly are and why you're here in the first place, well, we'd like to talk to you about how to leverage the universal laws through focus to create the life which you intended to live. Well, there's a lot of stuff wrapped up in that sentence right there. How to leverage universal laws to create the life you intended to live. Not use those laws, but leverage them. Leveraging means that there are certain physical, spiritual, concrete, universal laws. And when you work with those laws, you become highly effective in everything you do. When you act in opposition to those laws or in resistance to those laws, well, then you're creating things that you do not prefer because you think that you should control your reality. You want to control the reality so that you can avoid basically negative emotion. That's what you're seeking to do. You do not want to be in situations that you might encounter negative emotion. You do not want something bad to happen or something to go wrong. You think that you know how things are going to turn out. And this is just a very resistant way of living life. And it does not engage these universal forces. Now, if you could use focus, your focus of attention, you could maintain this state of alignment by focusing on what you truly prefer, what you truly enjoy, what you love, what you like, while leaving everything behind. Now, in the non-physical, your ability to focus is perfect. It's absolute. You are constantly focused only on that which you appreciate, are grateful for, love, prefer, what excites you, what exhilarates you. In the non-physical, there is no distraction. There is no drifting. Because you're living in the moment and you understand what that is to live in the moment. In physical reality, there's a lot of distractions, but this is only because you're not really focused. And if you were really focused, if you really understood how the system worked, well, then that ability to maintain your appreciation on what you enjoy in your life and what's good in your life and what's going good and what excites you and what may be coming next that's exciting and what your friends are doing and all this wonderful thing. Well, you know how you do this? You reframe everything you think is bad, everything you think is wrong, every judgment you have, you reframe it all and you say, it's actually good. It's actually based in love. It's actually working out. It's always working out. I'm actually perfect as I am. they're actually perfect as they are. You see, if you can reframe what you think is wrong or bad and see it as right and good, well, now you're all focused together on what is good and what is good. And then occasionally you will lose a little bit of focus and you will judge something as wrong. You will lose a little bit of focus and you might get angry. You might get frustrated. And your inner self is there reminding you that you just temporarily lost a bit of focus. And you can always regain that focus and always regain that focus. When you do that, you tap into the energy that creates universes, creates worlds, galaxies, planets, stars, and you begin creating not what you think you want, not what you think will make you happy or make you feel whole or make you like, love, appreciate it. None of that. You tap in the energy to create this life experience that you intended to live prior to your birth. And when you are creating that life experience, when everything is going with the flow of what you intended prior to your birth, then you will feel extremely fulfilled, extremely joyous, extremely happy, extremely in alignment. And this is what you came for. This is why you're listening to this call now. This is why you've been brought to these teachings and to other teachings. This is what you intended prior to your birth. And you must understand that those interests that brought you here, that you allowed to come and to guide you, and that you acted on enough inspiration to be here now, you have to understand that it was because of those powerful intentions you set prior to your birth. And all of you are coming from different backgrounds, and you think you had different lives, and you have different interests, and somehow you've all gathered together. You've all come together to explore the possibilities for you in this reality. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who'd like to start?
I have a question.
Yes.
I was just taking a bike ride to look good, just for my 5-year-old grandson, just to take a bike ride. And I found myself really focused on like the neighborhood and all the things that need to be done to different people's houses. Like I was really focused on how much people needed to upgrade their homes. And it just felt like a focus that was probably not the best focus, but it was there. And I'd just like to know Joshua's take on that.
Well, it all depends on your emotional state of view, your emotional point at that place. So if you're going along and you're on your bike ride, you're with your grandson, the sun is shining, you're out in nature, you're having physical activity, you're moving your body around. And this could be the point of your focus. Just pedaling that bicycle, just being with your grandson, just enjoying the air. And if that was the point of your focus, everything else would lose meaning. The houses would drift into the background, just background for your wonderful trip with your grandson. Now, if you were looking at the houses now, and you were saying, this is my neighborhood, how wonderful this neighborhood is. Look at all the potential for improvement that is here. Look at the neighbors who are working to maintain their house and who are saving up for a new roof or a new air conditioning or new painting. Look at all that they can be. And when they're working hard and diligently to live in this wonderful neighborhood and to do what they need to do to make their house even more beautiful and to maintain it. And look at all the obstacles in their way. Maybe they don't have enough money. And so maybe they need to get a second job or maybe they have to figure something out. Look at how interesting that is, that the house that they live in is causing them to push past what they thought they were capable of to maintain this. And then some of the neighbors find it easy to maintain their house and the other neighbors find it very difficult to keep up. And some of them will just maybe retire and leave because it's too much work and the winters are too difficult. And the entire community is a mix of those who are happily maintaining their house and doing their lawn and making things look fantastic, and others who can't quite keep up or who maybe don't feel as worthy as the other neighbors. Maybe they came in early or came in late. You see, there's all this possibility of what you can choose to perceive, but you do not know what anyone else is actually doing in their house. You don't know if it's difficult for them or easy for them, if they care or don't care. You don't know if they're just using this as a write-off or if they're just planning to live there for the rest of their lives. But you can know that everyone is in their own reality. They're all creating it. And they cannot create in your reality. It's not possible. Nor can you create in their reality. So if you say, oh, I wish this one would take care of their yard, or I wish this one would repaint their house, you are saying that you feel fear that this neighbor's not living up to the unwritten rules of the neighborhood. And this one is keeping property values down because that one is an eyesore. Or this one is so nice. Where did they get all the money for this? They must have embezzled it or something. They must have gotten some ill-gotten gain. How dare they do this to this house? It's too big for the neighborhood or too much for the neighborhood. You see, anyone can judge anything, all relative to where they are and where their fears are. Or you could stand back and say, I was attracted to this neighborhood. There is something in this neighborhood for me. I like the diversity of this neighborhood. I like how some people have no problem fixing up their house and making it beautiful, and others seem to be struggling. That's good for them. That's good for them. It doesn't matter to me at all. I am living my life and using my point of focus to create a reality I prefer. Doesn't matter to me if this house is bad or this house is good, because they have no effect on me. I used to buy into that old line of thinking, that if everyone just pulled their weight, then we'd all raise the value of our houses. We'd all be better off. Well, now I know that maybe that's not true. Maybe I don't need everyone to be perfect. Maybe I like the diversity. Maybe I can be me in that. Because if I'm judging them, it's only because I'm judging me. And if I decide to judge them, then I must judge me. I must judge my house. I must judge everything I do. And now I'm not taking care of my house for my satisfaction. I'm taking care of it because I'm worried about what the neighbors might think.
That's great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Who's next?
I have a question.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it possible that I'm only not having dozens of inspiring ideas every day?
Nope, not possible. You're having dozens and dozens and dozens. Not possible. Now, you may not recognize them consciously. You may not understand that that's a actual inspiring idea. You may say, I don't know, I just feel like watermelon. That's an inspiration to eat a watermelon? How could that be an inspiration to eat a watermelon? I like watermelon. Yes, that's an inspiration. That's an inspiration. That's an inspiration to read a book, to play a video game, to do all these things. Those are all inspirations. Now, some of the inspirations are coming from where? Source, from your inner self, from the stream of consciousness of love. When you are in alignment, then the ideas that come to you are inspired ideas from source, from your inner self. They are divine inspired ideas. When you are feeling off, when you are feeling angry, when you are feeling bored, when you are anywhere below that emotional horizon line, you're receiving urges to change the conditions. And those urges will feel like inspired ideas too, you see. Now, you have a set of beliefs. You have enough of an empowering set of beliefs that somehow you made it to this conversation, that somehow you made it to these teachings. There is something within you that is so much bigger, so much bolder, so much grander, that is calling you forward. And you are going with enough inspiration that you found your way here. This is something you intended prior to your birth, you see. So you are acting on lots of inspired ideas already. Now, you say, I'm not moving fast enough. My life is not changing enough. It should be different than it is. I should think about myself different than it is. And we say, that is just these thoughts that are coming from fear. The thoughts that are coming from that limited stream of consciousness. They are not true. You are doing perfectly, and you would know this for sure if you transitioned to the non-physical in the next 5 minutes. You would say, oh, I did everything right. It was so confusing. I thought I was doing it wrong. But I was living this life perfectly because I acted on enough inspiration to get to where I intended to be the entire time. Now, if you can do a little bit more of that work, a little bit more of processing your limiting beliefs, you will be in alignment more often, and you'll recognize more inspired ideas. And this is a game we like to play with you. And so in the bootcamp, one of the things you do is you try to remember an inspired idea from the day before. Not so easy, is it? Because you're looking at that idea like start a business, write a book, blah, 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 all these big things. No, if you were inspired to have watermelon and you love watermelon, that's an inspired idea. The trick here is to be consciously aware of all the times you're receiving inspired ideas and all the times you're receiving urges to change the conditions. If you can act on fewer urges, wonderful. If you can act on more inspired ideas, wonderful. You see, this is how the game's played. This is how all the stuff gets worked out. And it all starts and ends with one thing. You identifying yourself as worthy of all the inspired ideas. You are worthy of, if an idea comes to you, it didn't come by accident. If you are aware of it, it's because you are a vibrational match to that idea. It could not come if you were not. And so if the idea is highfalutin and crazy, don't discount it. Now, we have to say one little caveat on all inspired ideas. They do not necessarily lead where you think they're going to lead. You tend to want to know the roadmap from the point of the idea to the culmination of the manifestation of the endpoint. But one idea might be sent to you so that you look in this direction and you become aware of another idea that's completely different than the first idea. We will try, your inner self will try, source will try all kinds of things to get you to move over here. And sometimes we have to say watermelon. And then you end up in the store buying watermelon. And then you see someone that you know and you end up having a conversation. And then we tell that person who you're having a conversation with to say something about you that you didn't see, to give you a new perspective. Isn't this a wonderful system? Yes. And if you say, oh, I don't want to go to the store and get watermelon, I can do that tomorrow. Well, you just messed up our whole plan here. You messed up the source's plan. You messed up your inner self's plan. No worries. No problem. This is what we love to do. We are constantly setting things up, going, ooh, that worked out. Ooh, almost. Ooh, that was close. Ooh, how close they come here. Ooh, try that one tomorrow. Oh, they're getting ready. We can see it. We can feel it. We get excited about this. You do what you need to do. And don't worry about anything else. And if you can act a little bit more inspired ideas, we promise you, this will lead you to the life you intended to live, which will feel so wonderful to you, so rewarding, so effective, so engaged, so exhilarating, and so full of love.
Amazing. Thank you very much. Very clear now.
Excellent. Who's next?
I have a quick comment. My question related exactly to what you just said, but we had our assignment over the weekend to have a conversation, and I had a fantastic conversation. And about 2 hours later, I had this insane inspiration, just wacky out there, but could see how all the pieces could fall together, could come together, and just felt physically exhilarated by this idea, and took a couple of days to kind of digest it. And to kind of figure out, okay, then what should the first step be? And
yes.
Then the first step became clear, and I made that phone call. And now that phone call revealed more things, and right. It's just unbelievable.
Exactly how inspiration works. You see, but with this big, exciting, wacky, wild, outside-the-box idea, you pay attention to that. But all ideas are equally valuable, you see. So the idea to go buy a watermelon is exactly as important or exciting or exhilarating or impactful as the idea to start a new business, build a new house, get into a new relationship. From your perspective, things are grand or minor. From the perspective of the universe, they're all exactly the same. Because they're all little tiny steps on a journey of self-discovery that will lead you to discover more about yourself, with each step. Now, it doesn't matter what the steps are, what the journey is, or where it goes. All of these journeys of self-discovery will always lead to expansion. If you want to engage the laws of the universe to make it more exciting and exhilarating and more based in love and more aligned with who you truly are and what you intended prior to your birth, then you say, I am worthy of this inspiration. I can do one step right now. What's the step I can do now? I will do that step now and then leave it until I'm inspired for the next step. And if you get good at this, you will go step, 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 step. And then you'll stop because there's a lot of expansion through all those steps. And you'll be like, ooh, I don't know if I can handle this. There's a little bit of fear coming in here. Ooh, ooh, I got to slow down. And that gives you time to let your vibration adjust, to let your comfort zone get stretched enough so that you're ready for the next step. The key here is to realize that if you live as a blended being, meaning if you went with every idea that came to you for whatever you could possibly do in the moment and just had no attachment to the outcome and just the joy of all these new ideas coming in and the joy of taking those easy steps, no effort, no struggle. No effort, no struggle, unless you need to expand through effort and struggle to get over a limiting belief. But you don't have to do that because the limiting beliefs will be shown to you in very mild little things. And you'll feel enough negative emotion that you can identify the limiting belief. But now if you have no attachment to the outcome and you're just going with the flow, you're becoming a blended being, which means you're moving in unison with your inner self, with you, with the you that is not fooled by this illusion, with the you that sees through the illusion, with the you that knows who everyone is and who's working in unison with the inner selves of everyone you know, you see. So imagine in the non-physical, there's a big, wonderful conference room with a big, beautiful table, and your inner self is there with the inner selves of everyone you know, and they're all having fun playing this game, organizing all the cooperative components, and without even speaking, they're like, send her an inspiration, send him an inspiration, send this one over here, send this one over here, and the components all come together, and when they come together, the manifestation happens. And this is like this spark of exhilaration when everything that was organized perfectly comes together to create that which you intended to create. This is the thrill of life. And if you could live in this thrill of life more and more of the time without paying attention to all the things that you do not want, all the regrets and resentments you have in the past, and all your worry about the future, if you could just live in the moment, being receptive and in alignment, letting that inspiration flow. Oh, wow, what a life this would be. What a life this would be. Now, it wouldn't be necessarily what you think a grand life would be from your Western ideals of what is good and bad. But from your non-physical ideals of how wonderful life could be, nothing could be better than this. Nothing could be better than being a blended being. Now, of course, it means that you will receive lots of inspiration and you will have to push past lots of fear and you'll really have to think you're worthy enough to do all these things you're inspired to do. And you'll really have to set aside what you think your friends, neighbors, family are going to think about you because you're doing all these things. How could you go there in the time of coronavirus? Weren't you afraid? How could you have these people come to your house? Weren't you afraid? How could you do this and this and this and this? Weren't you afraid? That's not being responsible. That's not being careful. You're just being willy-nilly. Well, you know something they don't know. You know how the system works, and they don't really know how it works. You know that you're not a victim, nor are they. You know that you're the creator of your reality, and so are they. Certainly, your fears and wobbles will be shown to you. And you might say, oh, that's a terrible thing that happened, or that's a problem, or that's a bad thing that happened, or I wish it didn't happen. But Those manifestation events needed to come so that you could identify the limiting beliefs so that you could become a vibrational match to even more inspiration, to live an even bigger, bolder, grander life. Because this is what you chose prior to your birth. And you're allowing enough of it to happen now that you can go with the momentum that you've already built and live bigger, bolder, more exhilarating, and a more robust life, just as you intended prior to your birth.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Who's next? Jump on in. Don't be shy.
Hi, Joshua. It's Navina.
Hi, Navina.
Hi. I've had something kind of popping up a lot the last 2 weeks, and it's the term empath. I watched an amazing chat between, I think it's Anita Morjani, and she wrote a book called Dying to Be Me. She actually departed, then came back, and she had so much to share. And she talks about, you know, people real. She's writing a new book called The Sensitive is the New Strong or something. And I know what she's saying about, you know, we are more sensitive, the people who are light workers, perhaps, or the people who are, you know, really tuned into the non-physical, and we really feel things and sense things. But I don't really like the word empath. I feel like it's kind of making us much too vulnerable and much too dependent on the outer conditions. And I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Well, we'd like to say that there are two sides to everything. There's a positive side from your perspective of what an empath could be. And from your perspective, there's also a negative side. This is the dynamic of every single subject you will ever encounter. There is the positive and the negative working together, but it's all positive. It's all there. But from your perspective, you can't see the positive and the negative. So we will talk about the positive. The positive is that all of you who came to this conversation, and all of you that are interested in the law of attraction, interested in our teachings, interested in any of this realm of spirituality outside the norm of what Western society says is this proper, good, effective life, you have to be more emotionally sensitive by design than others around you. Because this is part of who you chose to be. So if you thought prior to your birth, you set these intentions for this life that you're going to live in order to discover who you truly are, how the system works, what you intended prior to your birth, and move towards this new approach to life of love and acceptance, to be one of the first humans ever to approach life like this consciously, aware of the laws of the universe and the system in place. You chose that. One of the key aspects of being able to have an interest in this and to move towards this is to be highly emotionally sensitive, because your emotions are your guidance. And you did not want to ignore those emotions. You wanted to feel them and realize at some point that you were living in opposition with who you truly are. That at some point, to find your authentic self, who you truly are, is more important than almost anything else. Because from a limited perspective, you thought, wow, this really affects me. This energy really affects me. The way this person's being really affects me. How I'm suffering in their words, how they offended me or abused me somehow. Other humans who do not have the same heightened sensitivity would internalize it, would say it was just me that was wrong and bad. And they would just build up more and more limiting beliefs because they could not feel it as intensely as you feel it, you see. Because they're on a different path. They are seeking something else. So those of you who are here are all sensitive. All light workers are emotionally sensitive for a reason. Now, on the other side of that, we must say above and beyond that you create your own reality and that no one else can create your reality. Now, you could feel the energy of other people, but that is not good or bad. Their negative energy, just like their negative words or negative beliefs or negative behaviors, cannot affect you unless you allow it to influence you, you see? And so a lot of empaths are saying, ooh, I don't like that energy there. Oh, I don't like that energy there, because they're not understanding that that energy cannot affect them. It's like saying, I don't like those words from that person. I don't like that person's behavior. I don't like this. I'm going to separate myself from that, protect myself from that, because I'm a victim to them. Instead of realizing they're the creator of the reality, and that stuff does not matter unless they take it on. So the empath then can feel the energy of others, but also can come to this awareness that they're the creator of the reality and the energy of others cannot affect them. Now, if you are not aware that you create your own reality, whether you're an empath or not, you're going to perceive the things outside of you can make you feel something you do not feel. Just like when someone is rude to you. You were rude to me and I felt bad. An empath would say, you have this negative energy which causes me to feel bad. And so they would hide away from anyone that caused them negative energy. Simple misunderstanding of how the system works. The system is a reflection of how you feel. So as an empath, knowing that you are more sensitive to emotions and to energy from others, it is even more beneficial for you to understand that you're the creator of your reality, that you need not bring in the negative energy, that you can be aware that it has nothing to do with you.
And Joshua, can I ask you a question about pre-birth intentions and past life regression? Like, there are people who are tuned in and skilled, and they propose that they can help you go into the session that you had before you came, and you can look at your exact pre-birth intentions, and then you can have a better map or a better understanding of what's going on, or you can go and
pass, if you believe it. If exactly. You believe it, what makes you believe it? You see, what makes you believe this? Imagine that you go and have a past life regression analysis, and you were Cleopatra. How does that help you now?
Exactly.
Imagine if you were a little slave boy that got thrown off a ship. How does this help you now? Right? It's entertaining, but it doesn't mean anything, because there is so much more going on in the non-physical that you aren't aware of. There is so much more to the pre-planning of this life. Yet the pre-planning took a moment, because everything's momentary in the non-physical. There is no, we got to spend like 6 weeks to figure out this plan for this next 80-year life. No, it was all done through the intentional vibration in concert with Source itself, in complete, absolute unison with Source. Source created this life in unison with you. You are not separate from Source. You feel separate from Source here in the physical, but in the non-physical, you cannot separate yourself from Source. You cannot. Nor can you put on the goggles of this illusion. Because if you could put on the goggles of this illusion, and if you could walk around in physical reality, and you could be like confused, who's that person? I don't think I know that person. That's a confusing thing, because if that person's your life, we will tell you right now that you know them so deeply, so intrinsically, so truly, that when you return to the non-physical and you say, oh, I thought you were just my neighbor. I didn't know who you were. Now it's so obvious. I just thought you were the person at the grocery store. Now it's so obvious. That's an illusion you cannot pull off in the non-physical. And this is why physical reality is so exciting and is so wonderful, because you're just seeing what you can do with this illusion, seeing what you can do. But now you're at the stage where you're pulling back that illusion. And what can be done when that illusion is peeled back just a little bit? What can be done when you realize how worthy you are, when you realize how perfect they are, when you realize how great these conditions are, when you realize it's all just happening for you, it's never happening to you. When you live life like that, wow, what's possible then? And that's what you've asked. And this is why we're here. We're only here because you have all have asked these questions. And we're delighted that we get to share what we can of it. Because we have to work within your belief system and work within your perception of reality. We could tell you much more, of course. We could tell you much, we could tell you how this whole system works perfectly. But you wouldn't believe it. And therefore, it'd make no sense to say it. We have to work within the ramifications or the constructs of your present belief system. And as you open up that belief system, then we can reach for places that have never been reached for before, which we are doing now, of course. And we will keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and bring new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, as long as you keep up with it. We'll be a little bit out there, a little bit ahead of you. And as you invest in your time in this preoccupation and this subject, you will gain insights and you'll be aware of a little bit more and aware of a little bit more. And maybe you'll act a little bit more and you'll try something differently and you'll judge a little less. You'll complain a little less and you'll promote for the benefit of someone else. You will see something wonderful in someone else that you did not see before. You will accept them as perfect or as less flawed than you once did. You will give of your heart. You will open that heart up because the heart is closed. Why is the heart closed? Because yes. You're protecting it.
Yes.
You're protecting it from negative emotion. And there's no reason to, because the person there cannot affect your heart. They cannot damage it. They cannot cause you to suffer. They cannot leave. They can't do anything. It's not about them. It's about you needing to protect something that needs no protection. Love needs no protection. It's just the fear of this negative emotion. The negative emotion was always there to show you, you need not protect yourself from this ever. You never had to protect yourself. You could always be open with everyone. Always be open with everyone, except that damn little limiting belief that says you're not good enough, you're not worthy, and if they leave, it's proof that you're not worthy.
It's just what I'm realizing the last few days is that you really have to understand how much it is about feeling. Being in the now is about feeling, and it's like it's overwhelming when more and more comes, when your heart opens and you start breathing, which is my week. But it is about feeling, and it's you just have to experience it.
Are you ever doing anything else than feeling?
Exactly.
What else are you doing? And this is a feeling reality. Aren't you grateful that you have these heightened feelings that you feel intensely? Don't you feel a little sorry for those who don't feel their emotions? You might have saw this as a weakness. This is what the warriors chose. The warriors chose to be sensitive because in that heightened sensitivity, you are more susceptible to joy and pain.
Yes. Yes.
You are moving from fear to love, and your heightened sensitivity allows you to choose that journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joshua?
Yes.
This is Jeff. Can I just ask about fear and love, if we're always expanding into love, is it possible to expand in fear also?
Absolutely. You are always expanding in fear. You're always expanding through every experience, you see. The benefit is gained when you transition to the non-physical. In fear, there are experiences that you cannot have while in the non-physical. Also, in your experiences of joy, of exhilaration, those are not really available to you in the non-physical either. In fact, the more exhilarated you feel, oftentimes has a direct correlation to the more fear you had to overcome to get there. You see? You want to fear. The fear is part of the whole. It's part of the love. It's the yin and the yang. Without the fear, there could be no love. yet you've experienced enough fear. You've experienced enough lack. You've experienced enough limitation. You've experienced enough doubt. You've experienced enough of all what you would consider negative experiences. And you've expanded to where you are now through those experiences. So they've all been beneficial, every one of them. However, if you would like to be more effective, if you would like to move more easily and effortlessly and joyously along your journey of self-discovery, then there is no need to focus on what you do not want, what you do not like, or what you think is wrong. That's all based in fear. Without knowing how the system works, it's logical that many people would be so focused on the avoidance of fear or the avoidance of anything that could be fearful or negative emotion that they construct great barriers to the fear, which means that they just live smaller lives. They live more limited lives, you see, because they don't want to do anything that could bring up something unwanted, some negative emotion. They live in this bubble of what they perceive as a security zone or a safety zone. And they are very, very cautious in moving outside of that bubble. So in that, you can see as they get older, the bubble gets thicker and smaller and smaller and thicker and thicker, and they live smaller and smaller and smaller lives. Then there are those who say, I'm going to deal with the ramifications of my failure, of the ramifications of what people might think of me, or of the possibility of loss. Because what do I have to lose anyway? This is one life. And I have these interests and these passions, and I feel worthy of pursuing them. And so if I pursue something I'm interested in and it turns out to not work out, and other people say, look at that person, how they stumbled. What a fool they were for thinking they could accomplish that. They should have stayed at home. Well, the only reason those other people would say that is because it threatens their security zone, you see? By seeing someone else succeed or try something new or behave completely differently, it causes them to say, why am I being so sheltered? Why am I living so small? Well, I'm doing it safely and right and cautiously, and this just makes sense, and what they're doing doesn't make sense. Now, you have to understand that limiting beliefs serve this purpose of creating a perception of reality in this very diverse, wild, willy, wacky world that allows them to say, this is the structure of my life, and inside the structure, I am safe. And outside of that structure, I am not safe. The limitations imposed by their limiting beliefs cause them to feel safe, right? And they want to feel safe. Now, everyone came from a childhood where they were not safe in some aspects. Some obviously so, and some not so obviously so. You might say, well, they lived a perfect childhood, but why are they so much in fear? Well, you don't understand what they intended, their unique perception of reality, and every moment of their entire childhood that created the trajectory that led them to where they are now. And you see some people who had what you might consider a horrific childhood of abandonment and abuse, and they've come to realize the strength that was always there within them. And all of this is based on their pre-birth intention. So they're all prepared for whatever it is. Yet, they must somehow rationalize the world that they are living in. Some will say, it's because of me that this abuse happened. I am flawed. That could lead them on a journey of empowerment, on a journey of true self-discovery. Or it could lead them on a journey of exploring the inauthentic version of them, perceiving that all others are actually to blame and they were simply an unlucky victim. And this is the way most people look at it. Yet, as they transition to the non-physical, whatever that life experience was so rich and so valuable and added to the tapestry of all that is. All of it was important. all we're doing is coming here during this time of awakening because you have asked us to be here to show you that there is another approach to life and that you have done everything you need to do in the exploring of lack and limitation. And now you as a human can choose a new exploration. And this new exploration in alignment with the laws of the universe and what you intended prior to your birth and who you truly are will be satisfying and rewarding and spectacular beyond anything you could even imagine. Here's the tricky part of all of this. You have experienced a range of emotions from intense fear to intense joy. The fear that you felt, we would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, might have been a 4. And the joy you felt in your life might have been a 6. So you don't really know what real intense fear is, nor what real joy is. You don't know. You can imagine that fear could be much worse, and so you will avoid that. But you can't imagine that joy can be much better. And so you're not really striving towards that because you can't imagine it. So we will say this. If you were to live your life authentically as you truly are, well, you'd have to push past a lot of fear because you would have to be substantially different than you're being now. You'd have to be more courageous. And that fear, which is still irrational, will seem more intense to you. But as you push past it, you will find higher joys than you could even imagine. And you will realize from that expanded place that the fear was nothing to fear in the first place. So this is an interesting concept here. In order to reach joys that you can't even imagine what those are, you're going to have to face fear that you think is so much worse than you ever thought. Right? You have to trade. And then as you trade, as you push past intense fear in a pursuit of what you don't know, you will expand in that process. You will receive the joy, and you'll also receive the clarity to know that the fear was never real.
So they're in correlation with each other, fear and joy.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. The yin and the yang. Without being able to push past the fear, there's no reward for receiving the joy. Excellent.
I have a question.
Yes.
So it's based on something that you just said. Basically you said that you could explain us actually how everything works. And actually I was super excited about it, but we would not understand it. So, I was wondering if it's possible from you as a group of entities to actually kind of like give a class and people try to explain kind of the challenge. And so this is like a general kind of idea, and I got inspired when you were saying, but my specific question is, when you explain what you guys do and us, there's like, we have different roles kind of, but my question is, so we are a part of our total being, right? That came for a purpose here to expand. What are you guys? So you guys as well have a part of yourself here in the physical, or you decide to not do that and your role is totally separate for us, or why you guys are there and not here and et cetera, et cetera.
As a human in physical reality, you are playing with this idea of focus. And you are in a space-time reality or platform. And so you focus on something enough and it manifests into your reality. You focus on a new car and you might say, I will save money for the next year for a down payment on this car. And you set a goal. And you add to it weekly. And you are focused on this one goal. Could be an exercise goal. Could be an income goal. Could be a relationship goal. It's a focus. And then you get distracted from that. And you say, you know, I also want a purse. And so I think I'm going to buy this purse instead. And then you get to play with, oh, I lost my focus on this. Now I have to return my focus and I have to do this thing. Now you could have that focus on, let's just say, 10 different things. And you could live a life without any distraction. That's possible. But in order to do that, you'd have to think of yourself so much worthy than you think of it now. You would also have to perceive that that life would be more beneficial than the life you're living now, where you have some distraction and some focus, and you're playing the game. But the reward for the game comes truly when you return to the non-physical, because then the illusion's lifted. You remember everything you've always known. You know everything about how the universe works. It becomes so obvious to you. And guess what? You can't wait to come back and do it again. So everything is actually happening perfectly. You're actually getting only the information that you need, and not any more than you need, because it wouldn't be valuable to you at this point. You think that, oh, if I just got this little nugget of information, if I could understand it, then my life would improve. But you're missing a key premise here. The premise is your life is perfect as it is right now, and you just can't see it. And you don't even really want to see that. You don't want to see it. You just want to give a little thought, possibly, to the theory that you're perfect, that your life is perfect, that everyone else is perfect, that nothing else needs to be different than it is, that everything is working out perfectly, that you're moving at the right speed for you, that you would never want to move at another speed than this, that everything is happening for a reason, that it's all coming together absolutely perfect, that everything is coming in alignment right now, but yet you, none of you, see the perfection in any of this, especially in yourselves. And guess what? That's perfect too. Because if you instantly saw your perfection, the game would be over. You'd be back in the non-physical. There'd be no reason for this, you see. You want to have fun. You want to have a little bit of distraction here and there. You want to practice your focus. You want to intentionally meditate and come in alignment with your own inner self and the thoughts that you're thinking. You want to look at reality in a way that allows you to feel good, so that you can get into alignment with source consciousness, that you can get into alignment with your inner self, that you can receive the inspiration to live a slightly bigger life than you had thought you would live, to feel more joy and to be an inspiration to others. You see, this conversation has never happened before in history and could not happen without this perfect setup of people, exactly as it is. With the way that each of you is perceiving your reality, coming together with your inner selves, working behind the scenes with each of you and together in unison with all of you and with mass consciousness as well. You see, the idea of infinity doesn't really resonate with you. We have one thing we can share with you. Imagine that you went to a playground when you were 5 years old, and you were there for 15 minutes, and there were three other children there that you had never met before. Now imagine that you lived lives an infinite amount of time, that your entire life that you lived was repeating that 15 minutes over and over again of those three children. And so that you got to know those three children more intimately than anything else you ever knew. 15 minutes, one life, 15 minutes, another 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 life, for infinity, so that you could know them inside and out. That is something that you can't really perceive, can you? That an entire 80-year life was spent just for the 15 minutes with those three other children. Millions and billions and trillions of times, over and over and over again, so that the culmination of all those experiences was just to get to know those three people better, more fully. That's what reality is. It is so deep, so complex, so much stuff going on, so much more that you see a tiny, minute fraction of it. And if you saw 1% more than you see now, you'd be paralyzed in delight and awe of what's happening. You wouldn't move and you wouldn't really do anything. You'd be transfixed. And people would say, there's something wrong with that one. But they couldn't know what you know. And so play with this information in a way that resonates with you, because it's specific to each of you. Each one of you are getting something totally different out of it. Each one of you are moving at different speeds, but no one's doing better than anyone else. And each of you are fulfilling the purpose that you came here for. Each of you are moving with less and less resistance to becoming the authentic version of who you are. And each of you are trying out these ideas in a new approach to life that has not been consciously considered before. And in the annals of time, they will write stories and have statues for each of you as you came forth and inspired other people to do the same thing, you see. And then in 200 years, they'll tear down those statues as well. This has been an amazing conversation with people who are truly magnificent, limitless explorers of physical reality. It is our joy to be here with you. It is our joy to talk and to give you our perspective. But don't take it seriously. Remember, this is only for fun. And in fun, you will have the inspiration that will lead you to where you intended to come. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Joshua. Awesome.
Thank
you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That was fun.
Wonderful questions and answers. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.